Welcome to episode 21 from Stories from the VO Booth. I'm your host, voiceover trainer and talent, Tina Zaremba. Today I'm talking with the exceptional voiceover actor and human being, Kay Bass. I met Kay at VO Atlanta, where she spoke about finding your authentic voice. Today we continue that conversation. Listen in as Kay shares her journey into voiceovers, what she feels an authentic voice is, and why knowing how you feel about the world and yourself is essential to VO success. Enjoy. So Kay Bass, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today.
Honored. Truly. It's great. So happy to be here.
I always ask, how the heck did you find voiceovers? Because they don't talk about it in career day.
Well, I was pursuing an acting career in Los Angeles, and I had been at USC, University of Southern California, for 2 years. So I was entering my junior year in the BFA program in acting, which was a conservatory-like program. So it was the same 20 people in our class, you know?
Yeah.
And beginning of my junior year, like day three or day four, I was sitting, it was really, really hot, you know, in September in Southern California. And I was sitting in this class, I think it was like, I don't know, the history of theater or something. And I just was like hot and sweaty. And I just was really uncomfortable. And I realized in the middle of this thing, like I just kind of got this really overwhelming feeling of needing to get out. Like, I got to get out of here. Not just, I need to get out of this room and I need to get off this campus. I mean, it was like this really weird, I didn't know what was happening, but I left that class. I walked to my car and I left and I never went back. And as I look back on it now, I realize I was having a panic attack, but I didn't know what that was. I just had no idea, right? So, so I was living at that time, I was living in Beverly Hills with a friend, a girlfriend who has, she was an actor at the time. She's since become a really, really successful producer and creator of television. But we were like, you know, struggling actors. And I was obviously like depressed. But I was 22. I mean, I had no words for it or couldn't figure it out. But it was the 80s, you know. So
say no more.
Say no more, right? Like there were many substances that were being too heartily partaken of, I guess. But it was a crazy time. And I knew, and I smoked. I smoked like a chimney. I smoked like all I did was smoke cigarettes. And I remember thinking to myself, I have to stop this. I have to stop. This is, I'm killing myself. You know, like I just felt awful all the time. And so I, somewhere in that span of time, after I dropped out of college and tried to get my life kind of back together, I found this, I was looking through Dramalogue magazine, which I don't think exists anymore, but like this acting trade magazine where auditions were listed, you know, for plays, for, you know, all kinds of stuff. So I'm looking through this magazine and there was this advertisement for a voiceover workshop, which in 1985, that didn't exist. They were, so it was like, what's that? Where I grew up in Santa Barbara, I was a jingle singer. And so I was familiar with what voiceover was, but I hadn't done it. You know, I just would sing a jingle and somebody else was doing that little piece in the middle of the dialogue, you know, or the announcer stuff. So I knew what it was and I thought, oh, that's interesting. And I actually had this thought of, that doesn't sound too scary. You know, like,
yeah, I don't have to be fully seen in that.
Exactly. Like nobody's going to judge me what I look like. And I'm used to being in front of a microphone as a singer. And so I thought, I'm going to do that. I'm going to sign up for that. So I did. I signed up for that class. It was one day workshop. There was a casting director there by the name of Donna Ross. She recorded us on reel to reel.
I know. Back in the day.
Back in the day. So, and then she took that reel to reel home with her and she listened to it. And then on Monday, the following Monday, she called me and said, I think that you would be good at this. And I think you should take a reel class. Like this was just an intro kind of a thing. And so she referred me to Tom Pinto.
Oh God, he's still going.
I know. So he was the owner of Voice Tracks West at the time in Los Angeles. And so he taught classes, and I took a class with him. And after I think my first like 4 or 6 week thing, he said, you know, you really should just make a demo. And so I did. And I said, well, will you help me? And he said, yes. And so I made a demo with him. I sent it out to 3 agents. William Morris called me and said, we'd like to represent you. And I was not a member of the union or anything. You know, it was just like, I just had a knack for it. So, and then a month later, I booked my first job, and I have worked ever since. Up and down, you know, like roller coaster, but as we all experience. But that's how it began. I just never looked back. Like I never, every 10 years or so, I go, maybe I should try on camera. And then I, you know.
Forget it. Yeah.
One minute, you know, I take some course in on-camera auditioning technique and I go, okay, like I got to stop this. This is crazy. So that's how I got into it. That's a really long-winded story, but that's how I...
Totally clear though. I got goosebumps when you were talking again, because I heard this story, but I wanted you to say it again when you Atlanta. And it's so clear to me that this path was yours and meant for you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's meant for many people as well, but just the fact that it really was, especially being in the 80s and the 90s, the work was, it's so different now, as you know, so you probably different. Know.
I think I came along, I think my particular style, mm-hmm. you know, I think I came along at a time when voiceover was changing and they, you know, announcers weren't so formal sounding. And there was this, you know, in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, there was this shift to more conversational kinds of reads, real person, you know, talk to one person, you know, that kind of stuff. And that's just where I lived. I didn't have to put that on. I just didn't have to. So I never approached any piece of copy like an announcer. I didn't know how to be an announcer. So why, you know, there was nothing for me to measure against. So all I felt like I was ever doing was just reading. I was just reading and being kind of honest, you know, like, okay, I can imagine myself that I'm, you know, I'm a mom, you know, talking to my neighbor. Okay. You know, and so I never was trying to put, I had no thought about what it meant to read the announcer part, you know? So I never approached it with any preset idea of what it was supposed to sound like. And thereby end up sounding like, well, she doesn't sound real, you know?
That's great. Cause I didn't do that. When I got into the business, I always thought that you had to sound like Kathleen Turner or James Earl Jones. So I definitely, for a long time, just didn't trust my voice that was enough. And
yeah.
I kind of want to actually pivot to that, because when we met at VO Atlanta and you did a session, you were talking about the authentic voice and how now more than ever it's needed. And I guess I'm just wondering if you can kind of expound on that a little bit.
Yeah. You know, I, even as you say those words, you know, the authentic voice, I think the thing that I really wished to impart that is it's really more like if you live an authentic life, you know, your voice can't help but be authentic because you're not trying to put anything on. You're just who you are, you know? And so there's this idea that, you know, voice actors, new and seasoned, you know, they sort of are weighing this balance of what piece of it is acting, what piece of it is just the sound of my voice, the quality of my voice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we tend to, well, I think people who are new to voiceover tend to think that it's the quality of your voice that matters most, when in actuality, that's not true. I think, yes, obviously it's very helpful if you have if the sound of your voice is unique and pleasant, or, you know, but that's really not enough. I mean, that can't carry you, you know, through a career. And so then the question becomes, well, what does then, you know, what does carry a person's career if not just the sound, you know? And so I think about what it means to be authentic, and in these days in voiceover, when it seems to me that there are so many more people who are wanting to do voiceover, and the market is quite crowded with voices. And also, it's opened up, you know, to people everywhere. It used to be, you know, in a major city. You don't have to be in a major city now to have a totally viable career. And so how do you distinguish yourself, right? How do you stand out? And I guess at VO Atlanta, I had this like pithy little thing I said that somebody brought to my attention. And now I think, oh, I should like create a meme. I think my response to a question similar, you know, how do you do that? And I said, well, you know, branding, we're all about branding these days. How do we make ourselves seen and known, and how do we stand out? And I believe my response was, we distinguish ourselves by being ourselves.
Oh my God. But then, okay, so here's the follow-up question. If someone is struggling to find their own voice, because I mean, we go through life, and a lot of us, if you've been through the public schools, if you've been through American society, are told you look like this, you sound like this. I mean, even by our media, our entertainment, you know, some families, our parents. So how do you shed all that? But if you're not going to acting school?
I can only tell you my experience, right? Because I'm guessing it's different for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it has been this multi-tiered process that I didn't formulate. You know, I didn't say, I'm going to go set off to do this, like you set off to take, you know, an 8-week course in pottery. I mean, it's not, you know, I didn't set off on this knowing what I was doing exactly. But I feel like the way in which I have come to find my voice has been through a lot of therapy. and by therapy, I mean really soul searching. Like, who am I? What matters to me? What is my opinion? Like, just being able to know that you have an opinion about something, that you have a worldview. You know, what is your worldview? If you don't have a worldview, go find it. Because those kinds of things are what will make you different from everyone else, because that point of view will truly be yours. You know, I'm this crazy mix of philosopher, you know, I'm religious, but I'm you know, I love ritual, you know, I'm Catholic, right? Those things are important to me. They help me to cultivate my worldview, right? And what I think and what I believe and how I believe I should treat people and how it guides me in the sense of the kindness that I know I must extend to others as a part of my, you know, my obligation to be true to who I am, right? And so I think the route to finding your authentic voice in voiceover is to actually find your authentic voice in the world. And to find your authentic voice in the world is to discover who you are and that there's nobody like you.
And I also want to add trusting that.
Right? And trusting it, sure. There's that confidence piece. It's like there have been, you know, I mean, decades to where I would never say to anybody in, you know, sort of in public that I was Catholic because, oh, that's, well, you know, everybody has strong feelings about that. But it's kind of like, just because I say I'm Catholic does not mean that somebody else understands my Catholicism. Right. But I do. And as long as I understand it, and I know what it is to me, right? Then that's all that matters. And from that builds this confidence of, you know, I get to be who I am, even if it's not your worldview. I accept your worldview, you know, as being different than mine. That's okay. We ought not be the same. And so there is a level of confidence of saying, you know, I just need to be who I am. And if I can't say who I am, then what's the point? You know, what's the point of even opening my mouth? So I do think it's a very personal process. It's not a process you find in a voiceover class.
So when you work with students, because I know you do coaching, I'm assuming then each student you work with, it's a different approach that you take.
Yeah, I mean, there's sort of this overarching approach, mm-hmm. right? And then however the student takes that on, is that's up to them. They will hear what they can hear and use what they can use. But I'll tell you, you know, I had a student start with me, I don't know, 6 months ago or so, I want to say. And, you know, she lives in Texas and she was very anxious, you know, anxious to get going, like, let's go, let's do this, you know. And she wanted me to review her demo, which she had done 8 years ago. Mm. And, you know, and to be honest about what it needed and that she really wanted to start, let's get to work, you know. So I reviewed her demo and I said, your demo is unusable. You know, it's 8 years old. It's yeah. 8 years old. Even if it were the most fantastic demo from 8 years ago, it's still 8 years old. So I had to kind of work with her and saying, there's no rush. There's no time limit. You know, nobody just set a clock and said, okay, go, and you have this much amount of time, and then, sorry, it's over for you. You know, so I had to kind of reorient her thought about what it means to start again, right? And so for her to start again meant, let's just go back and like see where your read is, you know, where does it stand, you know, and what do you need to work on for today's marketplace? Like what is on the air today? How does what you were doing 8 years ago compare, right? And bring that, to now, to today. And so we started to work on that. And then I said, I said to her, the best thing I can say for you to do is go take an acting class. Just go take an acting class. Get yourself into a circumstance where you have to interact with somebody else and you have to look at them and respond, you know. And I said, that'll really help you understand that this isn't about your vocal quality. It's about your imagination. And you, in voiceover, we have to imagine who we're talking to, right? Because they're not in the room with us by and large. So we have to cultivate our imaginations to say, what circumstance is this in? Why am I saying this? We don't speak in a vacuum. We're always speaking in response to something.
Right.
So what am I responding to? Is it a loud sound? Is it a beautiful picture? Is it somebody saying something to me that elicits this response from me? But all of that is relational. And so when you only think of voiceover as the sound of my voice and a microphone, it's always going to be kind of hollow and empty and superficial sound, you know, not very layered, right? I did this, you know, 6 or 8 week course, and she came back and she was like, whoa, you know, like she was different, you know, and all of a sudden she was like, I really want to get good at this. And I want to do a demo when I'm ready. You know, it's like, you have to feel ready as opposed to feeling like some artificial clock somebody started. To say, I'm going to mother my baby, you know, is actually contributing to the development of her authentic voice, because she is authentically a mother. And if she's living that, it can't help but become a part of who she is when she reads, you know? So it's really about the authenticity of your life. You know?
Yeah, all aspects of your life,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Did you say get better at what you do in general in voiceover, or was it like, okay, I'm going to pick a lane and focus on this area and get better at this and then transition over to this area?
I think it's all kinds. I think it's get better in the areas you want to work.
Okay.
Wherever you want to work, get better at it. You know, I just started doing dialect coaching, right? Because I want to have this tool belt full of dialects. You know, so that when a game audition crosses my path and it says, there are 6 characters in here, 2 of them are Russian, 1's a German, 1's Middle Eastern, 1, you know, like I want to be able to go, okay, I can do all those. I'm going to do all those. I'm going to read them all. So that's like, so I feel like I'm getting better. Like that's what I'm after right now. Like dialects. That's my thing this year. Dialects, you know, so just find a way to make yourself better, you know, in whatever area you want to work. So
So you don't stop studying, no, is what it sounds like, too.
No. I mean, there was a period of time where I absolutely did, but I did have an epiphany about 4 or 5 years ago where it was like, wow, I either need to ride off into the sunset, you know, and wave affectionately at all the people and the career that I've had, like, bye, you know, or I can just, you know, dig in and go figure out what I am missing, you know. And that's when I went back to acting school. And I started working a lot harder at my auditions. And I started walking through the doors that were open instead of, you know, continuing to pound on the doors that were closed. And I perceived that there were doors that were closed to me. And they were. I mean, I truly was pounding. Like, there was a period of time where I was like, I really, really, really want to work in broadcast live announcing. I pursued that, and I could never make headway. You know, I just couldn't make progress. You know, there's like 4 women who do that stuff. I just never figured out what they figured out, you know. And so I just decided, you know what? I'm moving on. I shifted my sights to video games and animation. And that's where doors began to open. Once I got into this acting class and was working this technique, and, you know, all of a sudden I started booking games. And so now that I'm sort of in games, and I'm just starting to cultivate a reputation as like, oh, she can really do the job, you know, like, she's good, she's easy to direct, she's pliable, she's whatever, you know, then I think, okay, we'll just keep on the path of getting better, you know, just get better. And then it's really funny because, in a way, if you let go of things that you have, you know, been gripping so tightly, they somehow managed to, I mean, I've worked more live announced stuff in the last 2 years than ever.
It's so weird, the universe. I know, whenever I'm like, you know what, I don't care.
Yeah, crazy.
I want to close with this quote and ask you a question based on it. So Maya Angelou says, words mean more than what is set down on paper. It takes the human voice to infuse them with deeper meaning. So with that, what do you hope your overall voice conveys in life and in work?
Well, I mean, to bring this sort of full circle, I just hope that my voice is authentic. I think that my voice in my daily life, you know, I hope that it expresses kindness and is welcoming. You know, I hope that in the booth, you know, I hope that I can just be true to what is asked of me by virtue of the script in front of me. That's what I hope. And the thing that those areas really have in common is just that it's just that I'm telling the truth. You know, I mean, that's ultimately it. I mean, I did a role in a video game. I played Anna in Rise of the Tomb Raider, the Lara Croft Rise of the Tomb Raider. And she's, you know, she's not a, she's a desperate woman. You know, she's dying of cancer, and she does stuff that is untoward, and she's deceptive, and she's, you know, and destructive in her pursuit of health, of like a different outcome for her life. She does awful things, right? Well, when you play a role like that, you know, you just have to be true to what's on the page, right? So what I convey in that role, I hope, is something three-dimensional, as opposed to just somebody who's, you know, Lara's nemesis and is sort of a one or two-dimensional person who's just wicked and deceptive. Well, I mean, I would prefer that it be that somewhere in there that the character is viewed with compassion because she's dying. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we make awful decisions based out of fear, right? So I view this character as being fearful of dying. And so she's desperate and doing anything. So I don't view her as evil. You know, I don't. I view her as desperate, you know, and I can totally relate to desperate, you know. So I think just to be honest and truthful and authentic with the copy that is given me, I think that's what I hope that my voice ultimately conveys.
So. Kay Bess, you are not only an exceptional actor, but just an exceptional human being. It really has been such a blessing.
Thank you so much.
So thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me. It's just great. Thank you. I so appreciate it.
Stay tuned next week for episode 22, where I share my discoveries from the unexpected. Until next time, here's to owning our voices.